You know Jacob, he's in the top 96% of the class. Right? Everything he does is it's math. Everything he, you know, he clips like 2/3 of his fingernail or so. He's just Jacob's brain. That's just how it works. But he's doing great. He thinks he's one of the smartest people there. Love him to death, and he probably is. Yeah, his GT score kind of said that too. Just bragging a little. yeah, you know. His IQ was 3 points under Einstein. I'll just say that. And that was the test he took. So, it's not vanity. I'm just proud. So now we have, let's see, where's Wednesday night. Announcements. We have this coming Saturday, we have trap and skeet practice. This coming Sunday will be our second quarter meeting for the church. August 28th will be Teens Under God's Guidance. August 29th, coaches meeting. August 30th will be Noisy Bucket. September 2nd, question and answers. September 5th, men's breakfast. September 5th is also a car wash. Now, this is all on Labor Day weekend, so those dates are still, they might change. September 7th will be Labor Day, no school. September 11th will be Teens Under God's Guidance. September 12th is trap and skeet practice. September 19th will be men's fellowship. September 25th is Teens Under God's Guidance. September 26th, trap and skeet practice. And September 27th, Noisy Bucket. And keep trying to memorize those verses. I'm working on some. Yes. Yeah, it's going by fast. As crazy as it is, it's just fast. And it does, it's not slowing down. Not at all. Oh, well, on that note, if you'll stand with me one more time, turn your hymn books to 390. 390, we'll do our chorus of the month. Wave high, everybody, and take an offering. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And the blessings of the love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Say hi, everybody. And you can sit back down when you're ready. You know what? Let's do it one more time. You ready? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Every promise of the book's divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. I tried to remember that part. Anyway. Yeah. Father God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the blessings that you're just about to give us with a wonderful message. As we collect the offering, Lord, we ask that you multiply it to your needs, Lord God, and we just want to glorify you, and we ask that you bless the giver, Lord God, and we ask this in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
I feel like I'm in the dark. That's the way my wife usually keeps me, is in the dark. All right, everybody got a prayer sheet? There's some things we got to add on that we didn't get on this one. Here a second, let me get them. I got them written on the back of a piece of paper here. We want to take and put Chuck, relative of Chuck's, it would be his cousin's, uncle's, aunt's, sister's daughter. What's that? Your cousin's husband's sister. Okay. I was close. She passed away from Covis. She lives in Glendale or Goodyear. I knew it was one of them out there way out in the west part of the, you know. You know, when you get to Goodyear and Glendale out in that area, if you go just a little, about 2 miles farther west, you fall off the edge of the world. That's how far out it is. And then also, we need to take and put on Sonny. That's Norm's son. Is it on here? Oh, okay. Yeah. And he's got prostate cancer. And then also we need to continue to pray for Nick and his healing of his knee. And he's doing real good, though. He's got he's up and walking in the pool and stuff, so, which is really, really good. But I got a couple praises. I'll tell you what. I get the biggest kick out of our two little preschoolers, Avas. We have two little Avas. Both of them are Ava. And it's funny because they'll come in, they sit together in devotions, and I'll go, "Good morning, Ava." Both of them raise their hand at the same time, wave at me. Yeah. Oh, man. It's funny. I just say Blondie and Blackie. You know, one's black hair and one's, or brunette and blonde. And it's really kind of funny, but it... But another praise I had is the one Ava's uncle comes on Monday and Wednesday, and he stays and listens in chapel. And this morning's chapel service really got to him. And he talked to me afterwards for quite a while. And you know, God works in mysterious ways sometimes. And so we just need to continue to pray that God can work in the school the way he is. All right, anybody got anything else that's not on here? I'm going to have a terrible time seeing this. Roger? He needs all the prayer he can get. Being married to Melanie. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Oh, yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. We'll put that under praises. Huh? Velma. V-E-L-M-A. Holcomb or? Okay. All right.
Danny Rodriguez. Thank you.
If anybody asks me what I've spelled up here, I have no idea either. I can't even see it. All right. Huh? Yeah, I could do that. Hang on a minute. I'm not that technologically advanced. Oh, hey, that does make a big difference. Wow. Hey, fantastic. I can even read it now. I'll have to do that with my notes, too. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your many blessings that you've poured out upon each and every one of us. And Father, we look at this prayer sheet tonight. We have an awful lot of people on here. And Father, we just pray that you would take and answer each and every one of these requests that we make tonight according to your riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. And Father, we think of our faith promise missions and the church finances and think of the food bank, Lord. We just pray that you continue to help us get the food we need for that. And
Father, we pray for our government leaders, that they've made some good, godly decisions, and pray for the O'Briens for guidance in their life. We pray for Jimmy Matonia and guidance in his life, and Debbie Garcia and Kyle, and we think of Ricky Cerna, and we think of Christian Gooden. Father, we think also of Daniel, and we think of Raul. Think of Dolly and Sally and Renee. And Father, we think of Roger, Lord. We just pray that you guide and direct each and every one of them. And we know that they need to look to you for their guidance. And if they do, that you'll show them what way they should go. And Father, we pray for Chuck, Lord. Pray that they have wisdom and knowledge of the Bible. We pray also for the coronavirus. We thank you for the numbers that are going down drastically here in the state of Arizona. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue to help to bring those numbers down farther. And we think of the church here and all the work that's getting done now. We just pray that it be all for your honor and your glory. And we pray for the school that, as we've got it off on a good note again, that we continue to keep that going. And we just pray for Jacob, Lord, as he's in the Army. We pray that you be with him in basic training and help him and guide him in everything that he does. And help him to keep the faith, Lord. And Father, we just pray, can't praise you enough for all that you've done for us, for the answer to prayer, and for the faithful people that come, and for the lives that you've changed. And we just thank you for your marvelous healing. And we thank you so much for the ones that have been saved and the ones getting baptized. And Father, we just can't thank you enough for the things that you're doing in Dana's life. We pray, Lord, that you continue to guide and direct him, and we thank you for the blessing he is here to all of us at the church. And Father, we think of Gary, and we just thank you for how well he's doing now after his surgery, and we think of the Echoes, and we just thank you for them being able to get their Jeep back after over a year in the shop. And Father, we just thank you for Velma Holcomb and the good news that they had about her heart. And Father, we just can't praise you enough for all that you've done and the answer to prayer that we've seen in this little church. And Father, we think of our missionaries all over the world now. We think of the deans over in Mongolia and the Novatos up in Japan, and think of Gary and Nancy, and we think of the Yearlings, and we think of the McDaniels up in Navajo country. And we pray for the Wrights as they're getting ready to go back on a mission relief again. And Father, we think also of the Sanders over in China, and we think of the Radcliffes over in Mexico. Lord, we just pray for all them. And Father, we think of the many on here that need your healing. We have so many on here tonight, Lord. We just pray for each of them. We pray for Chuck's dad with his diabetes and his COPD, and we think of him, of Chuck and his knee and his wrist, and think of Ryan, and we think of Carl, and we think of Jasmine, and Gail Sherman, Patrick, Patricia O'Connor, and we think of Joni, and we think of Art's brother. We think of Mary, and we think also of Tom, and we think of Beth Ann, and Father, we think of all these that have cancer. We just pray, Lord, that you would take and somehow, some way, touch their body, that they would be cancer-free, and that they would be able to take and give you all the honor and glory for the healing that you did. And we pray for Scarlett, Lord, and the health problems she has. And we pray for Nick's wife. And we just pray, Lord, for her back. We pray that you'd take and heal her. Be with David Moore, Lord, as he's in this coma. Pray also for Shane Eldridge and the progress that he's making with this GBS. And we think of Christine and her high blood pressure and her migraines. We think also of Lauren Allen and his ABS. We think of Tuck and his hip, Lord. We just pray that you'd be at the doctors to know exactly what they need to do, and be a Cynthia and her neuropathy. And we pray for Nick, Lord, as he's recovering from his knee surgery. We just pray that he get his strength back and his knee again. And we pray also for Papa Lloyd, and I just pray for mercy there. And Father, we just pray for Verla Holcomb. We just thank you so much for the good report we had of her with her heart. We just pray for Carol and her back injections that she's going to be having. And we pray for Raul and her knee and hand and back. We pray also for Kathy and her, she's on hospice now. We just pray, Lord, that you'd be merciful to her, and pray for Melanie and the blisters that she has and the much pain that she has at them. We pray for Norm or for Sonny, and we just pray for the prostate cancer he has. And we think of Danny Rodriguez, Lord, and the spot that he has on his lung now. We just pray that the doctors might be able to do a biopsy and find out what it is. And Father, we just pray for the many that need to know you as their personal Savior. We thank the food bank workers and the people who come to the food bank and our unsaved relatives and Ray Thomas and Jasmine and Deborah Dalton. We think of Ricky Cerna. We think of Josh Myers and Joshua and James and Nicole and Cassidy and Delena. And we think of Bobby and Edith and Danny. And we just pray for all these, Lord. We just pray that somehow, some way, somebody can come into their life and show them from your word how they need to turn to you for their salvation. And Father, we think of our military now all over the world. We just pray for them. We pray that you'd guide and direct them. And Father, we pray for Noah tonight, and as he's down at school now, down at U of A in Tucson. We pray, Lord, that you take and be with him as he's starting his first year in college. And I just pray, Lord, that you guide and direct him. And Father, we just thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for all you've done for us. We pray now that you'll guide and direct in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Get back on there. Well, all right. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the Church of Philadelphia tonight. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 13. And so I hope you have your Bibles, and there's some notes you may want to take tonight as we go down through this. We're going to give you a little bit of an overview of what the Church of Philadelphia was like and how they were and what the town was like and things like that first. But in Lydia, on the lower slope of the Tomas, 28 miles southeast of Smyrna, there was built the town of Philadelphia by Aetius II, Philadelphius. He was a king of Pergamus at the time. He died around 138 B.C. And the town was nearly destroyed by an earthquake during Tiberius's reign. The connection of the church with the Jews is not really known too much, other than after Christ had died on the cross and they started a church there, the Christians did. And but it and Smyrna alone, of the along with all the seven, the most affectionate churches there were was Smyrna and Philadelphia. They received unmerited praise. To Smyrna, the promise is the synagogue of Satan. If we remember that from our study of the Church of Smyrna, should not prevail against the faithful ones. But now to Philadelphia, she should not, even with overcome of the synagogue of Satan. Now there's a little bit different there, in that the Church of Philadelphia is going to overcome the Church of Satan. Now, her name expresses brotherly love in conflict with the legal bondage. Her converts fell low before many and were persecuted. They were persecuted by the other churches around the area, but they were given a promise, "He that overcometh, will I make a pillar." Now, you'll be immovable, firm, stand, in contrast to Philadelphia. Philadelphia was one place that was constantly rebuilding. It was always rebuilding. There was a earthquake there at least every 2 to 3 years, and of huge magnitude, and it would destroy the whole city. The people were very poor because they were taxed so high to rebuild the city every year. And so here we see that it was really a poor a city. The people didn't have a whole lot, but yet they built a very beautiful, beautiful church. This church was one of the most beautiful churches in the area, and it had, even today, the pillars of the Church of Philadelphia are still standing. And just by the pillars, they can see that it was a very beautiful and well-built church. Now, Philadelphia, as we're going to see, Jesus said had an open door that no man can shut. And we're going to see what that means here in just a little bit. There's a lot that Jesus said to the Church of Philadelphia that we're going to be looking at tonight. And as I said before, I don't really put a whole lot of stock in the seven churches being seven time periods, because all the churches today are in the time periods of what is being said. And we're going to see that with the Church of Philadelphia tonight, where even the Church of Florence Baptist Church fits into this time frame right now. And so we're going to see that tonight. But in verse 7 of chapter 3, it says this. It says, "And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." You notice how the Lord introduces himself to the people of Philadelphia. It's different than what he did anybody else. And if you look at this, he says that he is holy or sacred, physically pure, morally blameless. You know, Jesus is the only one who could make this claim to be fact. You know, Jesus was sacred. He was pure, morally, and blameless. You know, Jesus is without sin. He is all holy. You know, the thing that we forget is that Jesus, even though he was a man, even though he lived like you and I live, he still was all holy. Just like God the Father, he was all holy. You know, if he was not holy, he could not go in to the presence of God the Father. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that only a perfect holy person could go into the presence of God. Now, he is true. he that is truthful. He that does not tell a lie. He that can be trusted in everything that he says. He that is the same today as he was yesterday. And he will be the same today as he will be tomorrow. He never changes. He's always the same. His word is true today, and it will always be true as it was in the days of old. He that hath the key of David. Now, I found this very interesting. If you think of the key of David, what would you think of the key of David? It says that he that is true, he that hath the key of David. What do you think that means? No ideas. Nobody has any ideas. Oh, man, you guys, I'll tell you what, I thought for sure somebody would have an idea. Well, in the day of David, David was a very interesting king in that David had all of the locks in the palace made so that one key could open any door in the palace. He had a master key made to where he and maybe only one or two other people had this master key that would open every door in the palace. Now think of all the doors that David had in the palace, and yet there was one master key. Now this is what this is talking about. Now, in the New Jerusalem, the son of David
will have the keys to all of the doors in the kingdom. Jesus is going to have all of the key, or the master key, so to speak, that will open every door in heaven. I mean, I found that so interesting that, he's going to have that key. You know, he'll open to all those who know him. He will let them in who have accepted him as Lord and Savior. But he will shut, and no one will be able to open the door other than him if they have not accepted him as Lord and Savior. And I found that very interesting. He can open the door, and he can shut the door. You and I cannot open the door, and you and I cannot shut the door. Only the Lord Jesus can open that door and shut the door. And he can let in who he wants, and he can keep out who he wants. Now, to me it was very interesting to think that the Lord can open a door and let people in where no one else can ever open that door. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Verse 8, it says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, but hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, I want you to notice what the Lord says to the church. You're going to go to heaven. I opened the door, and no man can shut the door, and you can come in. He said to the Church of Philadelphia, I've opened the door for you, and as long as you accept me as their personal Savior, you can come in, and no man can shut that door. You may not be a strong church. You may not be a mighty church. You may have just a few members, but you've been a solid church. Yeah, you may not have have went out and evangelized the world. You may not have done what a lot of big churches can do. However, he says, let's read that one more time. It says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept what? My word. I want you to underline that. Kept my word. I want you to underline that little phrase right there. Because it's so very important. As we go down through this, you're going to see why. And hast not denied my name. Underline kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Look, he says, you have kept my word. You did not fall for a charismatic movement. You did not go with the evangelicals. You did not become ecumenical in your teaching. You did not go after some newfangled translation that man wrote. You held firm to the word of God. You did not go to the right or the left. You preached sin was sin. You preached all are sinners. You went soul winning. You did as you were told to do. You preached the word of God, and you held firm to it. You didn't go to the right or the left. You stayed right down the middle. And that's what God wants out of a church. He wants us to stay down the middle. He doesn't want us going off to the left into the conservative crowd or into the liberal crowd. He wants us to stay right down the middle. He wants us to stay firm on the word of God. And if we do that, you know what? We're going to keep the word, just like the Church of Philadelphia did. You did not deny my name, he goes on to say. In the time of John, it was not popular to follow Jesus. Many who followed for a while after there was a little persecution, they denied the very existence of Christ. There was an awful lot of churches back then that would start up, and then they got persecuted. There was problems that came in the church, and they folded. Does this sound like today? Does it sound like today at all? I read a statistic yesterday, and it was frightening. California, right now, there is 4 churches a day closing their doors. 4 churches a day closing the doors. Why? Why are they closing their doors? Because they're being persecuted. They're going through persecution. The state is persecuting them and not allowing them to meet. You know, I'm not a real big fan of John MacArthur, and I don't, you know, use much of his teaching and things like that. But I have to stand up with him when he stood up to the state and said, no, I will not close the doors. In fact, last Sunday, and I think this is the 4th Sunday now that they've had services, and 3 Sundays ago, there was over 1,000 people picketing outside the church because they were having church. And so the state came in, and they were going to forcibly close the doors of the church. He turned around and sued the governor. He sued the state. He sued the attorney general. And it went all the way to the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals. And the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in his favor and said they can keep the doors of that church open. People can go to church there. And so they had church this last Sunday. Now, the governor says, I will have the National Guard out next Sunday. You will not open the doors of the church. It is getting so bad in California that the state is coming out and chaining the doors of the churches closed. They're putting chains on the doors and locking them up so that people cannot go to church. Now, I'll tell you what would happen around here. I'd cut the chains, but then again, you know. Yeah, I got 2 of them at home. And but what we need to realize is, listen, there is persecution going on right now in the United States and the churches. I mean, there are churches under persecution, and there are churches that are closing their doors because of it. And the Church of Philadelphia didn't shut their doors. They kept them open. They kept going. Even though they weren't a very big church, they just continued to go forward for the cause of Christ. You know, think about it. You know, many who followed for a while after they were persecuted, you know, they went away from Christ. Look at even Peter did. Even Peter denied Christ the night of his trials, night before his crucifixion. Even Peter, after following Jesus for 3 years, saw the persecution, and what did he do? He turned and ran. You know, the Lord commands them to hold firm to their convictions. You know, we need to hold firm to our conviction. We need to stand on this old book. We need to stand on the Bible. We need to stand on the King James Bible. We need to say, this is God's word, and this is what we're going to stand on. We need to do that. We need not to falter from the teaching of the Word of God. You know, as long as I'm pastor of this church, we will stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. People need to understand that. You know, I know she's listening, and I'm going to use her name anyway. Sarah last night called me. She had a question. And I hope you're listening, old lady. Anyway, she called me last night, and she read this verse. And I'm looking at it in my Bible, and I'm going, what? What are you reading? And she goes, well, I'm reading this scripture. And I said, that ain't what it says in my Bible. And she goes, huh? So I went and I read it out of my Bible. I said, now that's what it says. I said, what are you reading? She says, well, I've got a Bible here. It's Bible for Dummies. I said, I can understand that. I can. But listen, we got to be so careful what we use for translations of the Bible. That's why I stand firm on the King James Version. Verses 9 and 10, it says, "Behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Jesus tells them that he's going to do for them just because of their faithfulness. He's going to make their enemies, this is cool, who made fun of their religion, those who rejected the teaching of the Word of God, those who hated the convicting power of what was preached, those who felt that they were not sinning when they did the things that were contrary to the Word of God, he said that he was going to make them fall and worship at their feet. Think about them. All them that were making fun of the Church of Philadelphia, Jesus one day is going to make all them idiots fall and worship them of the Church of Philadelphia. Hey, that would be cool, wouldn't it? If all of them over the years have said bad things about Florence Baptist Church, God makes fall and worship at our feet, that'd be kind of cool. You know, he was going to show them how much he loved the ones who held them and held on to the Word of God. You know, we need to be so careful to teach and preach the whole counsel of God. I got three things I want you to listen to very carefully. The first thing is this. We need to listen to the Word. We need to listen to the Word. We need to learn from the Word. We need to learn from the Word. And the last thing is this. We need to live by the Word. We need to live by the Word. Sounds like a good outline for a sermon, doesn't it? Revelation 3:11, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now, it says here, "Behold, I come" what?
Quickly.
"Behold, I come quickly." The word "behold" means hold it. I want you to understand something. He goes, "Behold!" Stop and listen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 52, it says, "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You know, how much quicker than a twinkling of an eye can you get? They say that the twinkling of an eye is the thought from the brain to the eye to blink. It happens in 1/100th of a nanosecond. And they can just barely measure a nanosecond. But it's 1/100th of that. It's that quickly. You know, Jesus used the word "behold," and it means to stop. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something important. He says, "Hold fast that which I have, that no man take thy crown." Now, we cannot lose our salvation, can we? We understand that. So we know that once we're saved, we're always saved, we're going to heaven. Now, what's it talking about losing your crown? Huh? We're going to look at it. It says, you know, he's telling them to hold firm to the Word of God and keep the faith, and you will not lose your blessings or rewards. Now, let's take a look at the crowns here for a minute. No man take thy crown. What crown is it talking about? Well, you've got the incorruptible crown or the soul winner's crown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. The crown of righteousness, or faithful worker's crown, is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Then you have the crown of life for those who endure the trials of life. In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Then you have the crown of glory to all those who are saved. In 1 Peter 5:4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. The way we lose our crown, or jewels of our crown, is by letting opportunity slip through our fingers. You know, there's a lot of times that we can take and talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't. We let those opportunities just slide through our fingers. And that's what I think that he's talking to the Church of Philadelphia about, is he says, you don't want to lose your crowns. You don't want to lose the things that you've already gained. You want to keep them for all eternity. Verse 12, it says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Jesus is talking about the New Jerusalem here, and we're going to see this New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21. But he's telling the church, since they have been so faithful, that he will open to them the temple of the new kingdom, and they will never be locked out. I mean, think about that. You know, because they were faithful, because the church was faithful in doing what they were called to do, God was going to open the temple door for them so that they could go in and never be locked out. You know, there are those who were Jews in that time period who were not allowed to attend the temple after they professed Christ as Savior. You know, they were locked out of the temple, literally. They locked the doors and would not let them in because they had accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And we need to realize that Jesus is saying, when you get to heaven, it ain't going to be that way. The doors are going to be open and anyone can enter in. Anyone can take and worship the God of eternity. You know, Jesus is telling us, if we will continue to be faithful until the end, that we will have rewards. And I'll tell you what, I'm waiting for the rewards I'm going to have, because there's going to be a lot of my hope, you know. But we need to be faithful. If we're faithful in doing what God has called us to do, those rewards will always be there. And then verse 13, we see that he closes the same way he did in every one of his letters. And he closes the same way. Next week, we're going to be looking at the Church of Laodicea, and we'll be finishing chapter 3. Then I think the following week is question and answer. And then the following week, get ready, because we're going to open up chapter 4, and you're going to want to listen to chapter 4, because I feel that right now we are in this church age where the churches are, and it's coming to a close very quickly. And we're going to see that in chapter 4 as we get into chapter 4 and why I feel that way. So let's have a word of prayer real quick, and we'll go from there. Father, thank you so much. I just pray now that you'll be with us and guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what your word says. We know that one day, very soon, the trumpet's going to sound, and we'll be here no more. We just pray, Lord, that you take and guide and direct us. Be with us now, I pray, In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to have a real quick business meeting. We have one piece of business that we need to get done. Do you want your pen back? Oh, you got the clicky one?